The consolidation concept has been really well received by both customers and industry. I mean, there are just huge efficiencies and benefits that we're going to gain by the time we get done with the consolidation effort. So we are on a path forward. We've had to slow down the consolidation process just based on where industry's at, not where we're at. So we're going to continue to process those consolidations and hope to have the whole project substantially complete by November.
What's it going to mean by November? Are you talking about a change in the way the schedules are done? Is it a, hey, if I'm a company X and I hold 3 schedules, that's going to be now 1? Give me a sense of what the long-term vision is.
That's exactly what it means. And actually, our real goal is on October 1st. Our customers are going to be able to start using the consolidated schedule for all of our vendors. They'll all be migrated to that environment. I gave ourselves 30 days just in case we've got some stragglers and that kind of thing. But really, that's exactly what it is. We'll have 1 schedule, and our customers will no longer have to compete their requirements among up to 8 schedules, depending on what their needs are.
And the goal is to help with overlap.
Absolutely. With 8 scheduled contracts, if you've got a very complex requirement, understanding how to compete that across 8 different contracts is very complex contracting work. By moving to 1 contract environment, COs really understand what that looks like. They know, hey, this is 1 contract, and I need services from these 3 SINs, and so contractors in that space can compete for a requirement. It really makes it a lot easier.
When you look at this out by November, was the plan there to get it done earlier by October 1st, and now you've pushed it back by 30 days just to give you a little bit of wiggle room, or what's the challenge that you're still facing?
In my performance plan, I said substantially complete by November. And so we are going to be substantially complete by November. Really, it was, we thought we were going to be able to have all of the consolidation packages in by April, and we're not. Industry is just not going to be able to meet that requirement. So we've got 440 contractors that need to migrate, and we've got 167 in process, about 41 completed, so we've got, I think it's like 224 or something left to go. And so we're really pacing, moving into that environment based on where industry is at and getting their paperwork.
Are you finding that as the paperwork is coming in, the industry, the consolidation is just a matter of, okay, company X has schedule A, B, and C, okay, now we can move them to the consolidated schedule. Is that all you're doing? I mean, you're not looking for a new schedule. You're not looking to recompete anything. And then do those companies get, is it a new 5-year schedule, or is it just the renewal is based on wherever they're at in their current set of schedules?
Actually, one of the benefits of consolidation is for those contractors that have to migrate 1 or more schedules is their entire contract period starts over. So they get a whole new up to 20-year contract, which is a big benefit for them. It is moving into a new contract environment. So part of the consolidation process for those vendors that have 1 or more schedules may require us really rationalizing the labor categories that they have under their schedule. So in some instances, we'll be consolidating. Let's say if they've got engineers on 3 different schedules, we'll be moving that to 1 labor category, and here's the engineer rate, if that's really in their interest. We're really leaving it up to the contractor to decide if they need to have separate engineer pricing for, let's say, a PES SIN or a MOBIS SIN or an environmental SIN. So it really is going to be a one-on-one negotiation with the contract specialist based on really where that company is at with their pricing models. And that's true for escalations as well. So today, each one of our scheduled contracts have separate escalations generally that are built into their pricing. We'll be working with those contractors in how do we structure that in the new consolidated environment. That can be tailored, not tailored, or really working that individually with each contractor.
Along with this consolidated schedule, you guys are looking at other things around professional services. One of the things you mentioned was relooking at the SINs, the special item numbers, looking at the concept of ODCs, other direct costs. Give me a sense, what are you looking at there, and what's the biggest challenge you see with those two areas?
The SIN structure, the feedback that we've been getting from our customer agencies is that it really isn't working for them anymore, in part because of the way that the NAICS code structures really drive how we set aside task orders for small business. And we are not going to tackle that today. We're going to get through consolidation and then really work closely with our customers and industry to think through what the right SIN structure should be and how that should be aligned towards NAICS codes so we can really rationalize that with how task orders are being competed today.
And then for other direct costs, the idea behind that is that's something that's been a bugaboo for industry for a long time and agencies. So talk about your thoughts on that.
GSA is tackling that particular issue head on. It's something that our customers customer agencies have been asking for, and we are working hard to make that happen. I believe the senior procurement executive, Jeff Kosis, is working on a FAR case, and that's going through the process that it goes through. And so we're hoping that we're going to hear something soon about that process.
Related to this, and again, outside of the consolidation pieces, you floated the idea of a possible unpriced schedule. That seems fascinating, but explain real quick how that would work and what's the concept you're kind of thinking about when you talk about an unpriced schedule.
The SARA panel in 2007 actually made a recommendation that based on how services are priced versus commodities, that GSA consider piloting an unpriced schedule. For IT services, we've expanded that concept to include professional services as well, and it's pretty straightforward. It would be an unpriced schedule.
When the vendor gets on the schedule, they don't have to give you their prices. You would just look at maybe their past performance. The fact is that they do offer these services. They have been successful in some way, but the price point is not a part of the negotiation to get on the schedule. Is that the concept? I know I'm simplifying it.
Yeah, that's generally the concept. We're still working, through this from a conceptual perspective. Clearly, I think price is still going to have to be looked at. I'm guessing that as part of that vetting process, we would have to look at, from a past performance perspective, probably a past pricing practice. And are those prices competitive? Are they active in the market? What are their rates overall? Just so we can kind of give that GSA a good housekeeping seal of approval on the pricing side. But really, competition for services and pricing happens at the task order level. It's all about the requirement and the risks that are inherent in that. And I think focusing our energy in helping contracting officers do good services competitions at the task order level is energy better spent than us negotiating labor rates that are going to be discounted anyway, when we get through the competitive process.
You talk about customer service several times. You are setting up a customer care organization, or you have set up a customer care organization. Talk a little bit about that.
We're very excited about the work that we're doing this fiscal year in that area. And what we've really heard from federal agencies is we're not available the way that they need us to be. And so we're going to start hosting monthly office hours, webinars, online training, so we're a lot more accessible to contracting officers when they're facing a challenge. So the types of support that we've been asked to give are, can you take a look at the statement of work and tell me if it's within scope of either OASIS or one of our scheduled contracts? Can you help us think through an acquisition strategy on how we might have a CTA agreement for a particular BPA maybe that they're working on, or a complex requirement? So we're going to have experts that are available to contracting officers to support them with that kind of work.